Welcome to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today was supposed to be Webster Topley. At the last moment, he emailed me and told me that something unexpected came up. It was something that was unavoidable, and he simply couldn't come on. I will get him rescheduled. We'll try to get a date that works for the two of us. He deeply apologized, so I sent his apologies to listeners. I know people were looking forward to hearing from him, but he will be back. It'll just be a bit delayed. I was able to get, for a portion of the program, Mark Weisbrot to come on. We'll talk about Haiti. Mark is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington. He's co-author with his fellow co-director, Dean Baker, of Social Security, The Phony Crisis. You can find more information about Mark and then the center. You can go to their website, cepr.net. But Mark, I welcome you to talk for a portion of the program. I know you're doing all kinds of other things. Just to talk more about Haiti, because it's a very disturbing story. I welcome you on the program, Mark.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, it's just terrific. I try to get you on once more, as I mentioned this morning. You were jammed up then, and I got a sub. We talked about Honduras at that time. But talk a little bit about what you see going on in Haiti. I see a very ugly story unfolding.
Well, I mean, I think the saddest part of the rescue effort has been the delays so far in getting the essential materials, medicine, water, now food and tents. I mean, it changes from day to day, but in the first 10 to 12 days, there were some really unnecessary delays, you know. And there were people in the press saying this. They just didn't get that much attention. I mean, people you know, who were very directly involved in the relief effort. Doctors Without Borders, which is a very well-known and respected humanitarian organization, was one of the first groups down there. And they told the press and raised some complaints about how they had 85 tons of medical supplies that were turned away by the U.S. military at the airport and forced to go through the Dominican Republic, where they lost 3 days and untold number of lives. And that statement to the press did, and because the French government temporarily joined in as well, I think made a difference. After that, there was some acceleration of letting medical supplies in, but there were others, many other examples as well.
Also, and food, water, shelter.
For the first 4 days, for example, the U.S. military decided they wouldn't airdrop anything, and then finally they started to do some of that, so you got more water in. And the big problem is that the U.S. Forces had an excessive concern with security. They had this notion that you're going to secure the country first, and then you're going to establish supply chains and get the stuff in. But that's, you know, people, that's just the wrong way to do it. And in a disaster, the most important thing to do is to get the life-saving materials in immediately, because you have people who are wounded and injured, and they're going to die if they don't
Absolutely.
Get it right away.
Mark, the music means we need to take a break. Let's do that. We'll come back. I'll keep you for one more segment. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same same natural plant sterols as 1-beta-prostate. And if you haven't tried beta-prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try beta-prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
On what Mark Wise brought, talking about Haiti. Mark, it really is shocking. You mentioned security. It's hard to imagine. Again, we're talking about a disaster area, not a war zone. Security for what? Against whom? For what purpose? I just can't imagine the idea that security is needed. What's needed, of course, is all the things that Haitians haven't gotten. We're talking about a few million people who are desperate for the essentials of life, including a tent to get in from under the sun or the rain if it rains. I've done 5 articles, Mark, since January 12th. In one of them, I had a section on the Berlin airlift in 1947-48. When we got it in gear for 11 months, we were delivering on average 5,500 tons daily to West Berlin, city of 2 million people. With the capacity we have today, my God, we could probably do 5 times that much. So why haven't we done it is one of the big questions.
Yes, well, I think that's the big thing, is that they were preoccupied with getting 20,000 troops in place and all the equipment and everything that they need. And that was just too big of a priority, and still is. I don't know how many they've gotten there, actually. I'm sure they haven't gotten up to the full capacity. So that's one of the things that we're trying to get in terms of information. It's just we want the administration to publicly give an accounting for what's going in, what are they doing at the airport, what flights are being let in.
They're concentrating on getting U.S. citizens out and bringing the military in. And of course, when the military comes in, Mark, they have to bring all the backup to support the military. They need places to stay. They need food. They need all the rest. So the U.S. Has commandeered the airport, and it's everything servicing the security. When who needs security?
Yeah, and, obviously there is security is important in the sense that, you know, over the long run especially, you know, everybody recognizes the need for security. But at the particular time, you know, especially in the first 2 weeks, there wasn't really a big security problem. There were, the worst that happened was that some supplies were looted, I mean some food. But, you know, nobody gets killed from that. In fact, nobody did.
And if you're starving, Mark, if you and I were there and we were starving and we could walk into some place and take some food or water, anything, you know damn well we'd do it. I mean, what's the choice?
Yeah, and exactly. And then they have, you know, the media, of course, played a terrible role here in playing up the incidents of looting that did occur. And, you know, one of the doctors from Partners in Health said this on the air, too, that there's a certain amount of racism involved, this idea that the whole society is going to descend into chaos if it's not for the foreign troops. And, of course, this didn't happen. What you had, for the most part, was people helping each other. And so it was just a wrong approach. And I think it also has a political element as well, because I think Washington is very afraid of the possibility of a rebellion there. You know, the government is of questionable legitimacy. They didn't allow the largest opposition party to even run in the last election in April, and they were planning on excluding the largest party again in the elections that were scheduled for next month, which will be postponed, but nonetheless, before the earthquake, the government had already decided, with the U.S., obviously U.S. approval, that they would not allow the largest political party and 15 other political parties to compete in the election, and so in the national election. So that's a problem, too, and there's a lot of people who don't see the government as legitimate. It did come in, you know, after their democratically elected president was overthrown in a coup in 2004. And that coup was organized by the United States over a four-year period. So you have that problem as well. It's a problem, it's a question of political control. And I think that's one of the reasons, that's one of the big security needs. It isn't just that they have an overblown a notion of this, you know, idea that the society descends into chaos. They also want to make sure that they have political control over the country, since they went through, Washington, that is, went through so much trouble to overthrow the democratically elected president. That was Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who was quite popular and still is today.
And he would come back at the drop of a hat, Mark, if they let him. Of course, he's in exile in South Africa. He absolutely would come back, and he's just what Haitians need. Just this moral figure that they love. My goodness, that you talk about the effect that would have on the people. That would pull everybody together more than they already are to be working cooperatively to deal with this terrible situation they face. But of course, we won't let him come.
No, the United States doesn't want him back there. I think the other thing, too, that the other obsession with security is they want to make sure that people don't leave the country.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's the other part of why they want so many troops there. But again, all of that, those problems could be resolved with the kind of relief effort that you're describing, something like the Berlin Air. But then, of course, they have the capacity to do vastly more than they did, you know, 60 years ago. And so that really should be the focus. And some people are saying that. I think you're going to see more and more of that. You have seen, you know, as I said, there were statements from doctors, individual doctors from Partners in Health, from Doctors Without Borders, from some other relief groups. And I think you'll see more. I mean, the relief groups, you know, they were in a tough spot because, first of all, they have to concentrate on saving people's lives. And secondly, you know, they were kind of held hostage if they had to worry if they made too much noise about what the United States was doing, they would get even less of their supplies into the country through because they're controlling, U.S. military is controlling the airport. So you did see also complaints from other countries, from French officials, Italian, and a number of South American countries. And I think the U.S. did respond to that. As I said, the medical supplies picked up quite a bit after there were public complaints. So I think we're going to need a lot more of that in the coming days and weeks to make sure that the relief effort moves as efficiently as possible.
I just hope it can happen, Mark, because just the way I look at this, I see so much of so many of the policies that this administration and the past one and previous ones have employed, whether we're talking about Haiti or most everything else, and it certainly has nothing to do with providing humanitarian aid, whether it's helping unemployed people here in the U.S. Your co-director spends an awful lot of time on that. We're going to hear Obama tonight talk about, as I understand it, a 20% cut in what will be social spending here. My God, I mean, we're going through a terrible economic debacle right here in this country, and he wants to cut social spending 20%. But, of course, limitless funding for Wall Street bankers and for the war effort. What kind of policies are these? So if we don't care about people here, my God, we for sure don't care about people in Haiti.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's a bunch. It's a bad set of priorities we're looking at, and it is very discouraging. I have to say, I don't think it's permanent. I do think that you're going to get more and more resistance to these policies here. You obviously are getting some. You see the Obama administration having to respond to, for instance, the this. A movement in the Senate to block the nomination of Ben Bernanke. This has almost never happened in the history of the
Federal Reserve. Oh, I wish that could happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but I sure wish it would.
Well, I don't think it'll happen either, but the fact that they're even having trouble is something that's nearly unprecedented.
That's
it recognizes it represents a kind of rebellion, and I think you're going to see more of that here. You're going to see more and more more and more resistance to the kind of policies that really have not. I mean, they haven't done much for people here and for people losing their homes, their jobs. The priority has been Wall Street, and I think everyone recognizes that. And you have this, you know, unfortunately, the right has taken advantage of this much more than people to the left of center, and so that's why you have the grassroots organization by the Republicans and the Tea Party people and all of them, and you don't have anything quite comparable on the other side.
You sure don't. To me, the message of the Massachusetts election was dissatisfaction with Obama's policies. But my God, is the solution moving to the right, not to the left? What kind of a solution is that?
Well, it's just a result of the fact that they're organizing and the other side is not organizing as much. And I think part of it is also, you see this around the world, you know. I mean, you've had this terrible world recession that's the worst since the Great Depression. And most of the changes so far have been to the right in Germany. It's going that way in England, most likely, and of course it just happened in Chile. And a lot of this is just because left-of-center governments are in power. That's part of it.
Oh, it's a big problem, Mark. I'm afraid we'll come to another break, and I know you have to go. I hope I can get you back one of these days and do a full program with you.
Sure. Thanks. It's been good talking to you.
Oh, Mark, I got you the last moment. I thank you very much for coming on. I'm very, very grateful.
Aerial spraying. Chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908 691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Back. Mark was very gracious to come on the last minute this morning. I caught him about 30-40 minutes before we went on the air, and he was all tied up with something else, but he agreed to spend about 20 minutes on the program. He's an expert. He covers Latin America, and I could get him back. I hope I will. I tried one other time, as I mentioned, to talk about Honduras, and he can talk about most anything going on in the region, so I will get him back when he can do it. And we'll have a discussion of whatever is most relevant at that time. For sure, Haiti is the big topic. Let me go on a little bit on that. And, there's so much else happening. Comment about tonight. Obama's going to make a State of the Union address. Well, if you think he's going to say things that people listening to this program want to hear, well, you know that he won't. And, he's pre-announced his intention to freeze about 20% of government spending, also to rein in the deficit. And we know the part, we know that the spending parts that he's concerned about, vitally needed social benefits, help to the people in great duress that we talk about on this program. People who've lost their homes, home foreclosures are at an all-time high, and the numbers keep getting bad. Some of the latest housing data has been negative, way below what people expected would be happening at this point. And I see reports from people I trust saying, this is going to go on for another year or two, maybe even longer, who can know? But things are very, very, very weak. There isn't a heck of a lot going on to help people. Job losses are far greater than the reported numbers. The numbers I trust have them with all categories included, the way we used to calculate the number 30 or so years ago. We're talking about somewhere on the order of 22% unemployment. In the Great Depression, we hit 25%. It was a different economy back then, very agrarian compared to now. So we talk about non-farm unemployment today. I think if everything were included back in the 30s, the number probably would have been over 30%. I mean, these are catastrophic numbers. Think of Haiti for a minute, though. And I've written about this a few times. Unemployment in Haiti is somewhere on the order of 80% under ordinary conditions. I have no idea how many people are working now. I mean, what's to go to work in Port-au-Prince? You got parts of the country that are okay, so I guess there's just normal 80% unemployment in those places. But in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince and the surrounding area that was devastated, we're probably talking about close to 100% unemployment, maybe a few scattered things operating here or there. So people not only don't have food and water and a tent to use as shelter and enough medical care. My God, I mean, they have no wherewithal to find some means of providing for themselves. What do these people do? I mean, just imagine us if our city was completely wrecked and we didn't have any of those things. How on earth would we get by? How would we survive? Which is why I look ahead. I take a very dark view of what's going on, and I've said it in my articles that I think this is part of a grand scheme. We saw it in New Orleans after the hurricane hit Katrina. The areas that we had planned to ethnically cleanse, the poor black areas that were close or in to be redeveloped desirable areas for tourism, for upscale condos, those kinds of things, they were left unprotected. The better off area with well off, the areas with well off people, they came out of it okay. Hurricanes never serve anyone well, so nobody got off completely unscathed. But they came off okay, so they quickly got their lives back in order. But the poor black areas, I remember writing about the communities. I don't remember the names now, but they were just wrecked, and the people were taken out. They don't want to be out. They want to come back. Many of them have never been allowed to come back. So their lives were ruined. The same thing happened in the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, 2004, I think. These people were removed from desirable coastal areas, the places that were hit the hardest, and they never were allowed back. So the areas could be used for redevelopment. I don't know if they're putting condos in, but they're putting things related to tourism straight up and down the coastlines in these places. And people literally, they have not gotten their lives back in order again 5 years later, 6 years later, whenever it was. I'm certain this is exactly what's planned for Haiti. As bad off as Haitians were before the quake, and they are really in terrible shape and have been for many years. The best of times were the years under Aristide, of course, but they certainly weren't picnics because the problems in Haiti are so immense that it could take a generation and you still couldn't reverse them all. The need is just so great for these people, 9 million people or so. And I think part of the grander scheme is corporate takeover of the country. Certainly with Washington, the big corporations headquartered here getting first choice of everything. But others as well, Canadian companies, French companies, they've exploited Haiti brutally in the past, so they'll get their share. But mainly U.S. ones, we have another break. I'll talk more, and I see an even uglier scheme as a part of this. Let's take the break, and I'll come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Galt. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. Let's talk a little bit more about Haiti. Again, you heard what Mike had to say about security, and I certainly agree on that. The idea that Haiti needs security is craziness. Haitians are extremely gracious from everything I've heard and heard reported. People who go down there, who know the people, who work with them. And they marvel at how people who have so little, literally so little, that so many literally don't know where their next meal is coming from, because it's not coming from anywhere. So they somehow make do the best they can, and they help each other. And the idea that that we need to get the Marines in there to secure the country is. It's obscene. It absolutely is obscene. The idea isn't security. The idea is take over. We invaded the country. We've taken it over again. We've been there a few times in the past. We've taken it over again. We're guarding the coastline to be sure desperate Haitians don't get away and, God forbid, make it to South Florida. If they do, they won't stay there long. They'll be rounded up and taken to Guantanamo, where they have been interned in the past very, very harshly, like being in prison, literally like being in prison. And there's already a setup at Guantanamo ready to handle any that we may need to send there if enough of them try to get off the island somewhere or another. It's a very hazardous thing to do. But, you know, when people are desperate, they'll try to do anything. So we have that situation, and one of the darker things that I fear greatly is that we are deliberately contributing to letting mass numbers of Haitians die. We did nothing to bring in heavy equipment to try to rescue as many people as possible from the wreckage. the members I've seen, there are maybe 120 or 30 that were rescued, and they were rescued by Haitians just digging them out with their bare hands. We could have brought in heavy equipment. We could have begun an instant airlift, of stuff needed to get into that, into those areas. You never could do it all, obviously, but there could have been a lot of people rescued that we simply let die because I believe we want them to die. We want them to expire, to get rid of them. They're not needed. We want to exploit cheap Haitian labor, virtual slave labor, but we don't need 9 million Haitians. Probably a couple of million would do just fine. Well, I don't know how, or nor do I think that we want to plan to let 7 million Haitians expire. But I wouldn't be surprised if a year from today or further out, a million Haitians end up dying from this calamity. In fact, I would bet that somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million, in fact, die. Those who didn't make it out from under the rubble, maybe a couple hundred thousand, who knows? And people are dying because of lack of food, water, medical care. And the toll will be taken over time. Disease is a major factor. All kinds of infectious diseases can spread from one people to another. You've got very crowded quarters. Port-au-Prince, very concentrated cities, the poor parts of it. And now we're hurting people, trying to get them out of Port-au-Prince. I call this ethnic cleansing, which is what it is, again, for redevelopment. So you herd people into small areas congested together. And if there's any kind of serious disease that breaks out, it could spread like wildfire. Well, I think this is probably part of the idea, again, to get rid of people as best as possible. So, again, the story is extremely ugly, extremely ugly. And my goodness, you certainly don't hear anything about this in the news. Here's a couple of other things to think about. The day before the earthquake, the Pentagon was holding a drill January 11th in practice for supposedly a hurricane that might hit Haiti. Well, it's a strange coincidence they were doing it the day before. It's an even stranger coincidence they were doing it for Haiti. And an even stranger coincidence that they were doing it in preparation for a hurricane in the winter when there are no hurricanes. Maybe they had something else in mind. Maybe they knew something that we didn't know. Maybe they planned the earthquake. I'll get into that in a minute. I wonder how many listeners remember back the same day as 9/11. 9/11/2001. On the very same day, the CIA was holding a drill at their facilities in Chantilly, Virginia. The drill was on the possibility that a small commercial jet would hit one of their buildings. The same day, on the morning of 9/11, and in 2000, about a year before that, they held another drill on the possibility of a plane hitting the Pentagon. Coincidence? Or did they know something that we didn't know? Call me a conspiracist. I believe in the ones that may have some substance to them. I suspect they may have known something that they didn't let on about. And I'm very concerned that they may know something about what happened about the Haiti earthquake, because we sure have the technology to cause them. I don't know whether we have technology that can cause them to the extent of the Haiti one. Maybe we can cause an earthquake. Maybe we can't say, well, bring me up a 7.0 and bring it up right underneath Port-au-Prince. How strong, how precise, I have no idea. But we've been working on stuff to change the atmosphere going back at least half a century, over half a century. And it's in my new article that I call Haiti's Earthquake, Natural or Engineered, I put it out this morning. It's on my blog site. Anybody can find it Googling Lendman blog. It's right up there now. And I certainly don't say that the earthquake was engineered, but I suggest the possibility that it certainly could have been, given the technology we have. And I mention other things in the article. Human events, human activity can cause earthquakes. Mining can do it. Dam building can do it. Deep drilling for oil or gas can do it. Or deep drilling for anything can do it. You disrupt the substructure of the earth. You can make it unstable. And you can cause earthquakes. And there have been a lot of them. And I quote, I'm certainly no expert, but I quote experts who talk about these things and they cite examples. Earthquakes all over the world because of these activities. Some people even believe that a huge structure, like maybe the tallest building in the world, I quoted a scientist from Taiwan, a seismologist, I believe, from Taiwan. Taiwan, I think, has the world's largest building now, a couple hundred feet taller than what once was the biggest one in the world in Chicago, the Sears Tower, no longer. The one in Taiwan goes up, if I remember the footage, I think 1,667 feet. My goodness gracious. I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time that high up in the sky, but there are some people, this seismologist believes that the weight of this building, 700,000 tons, he said, possibly could disrupt the substructure of the earth. And Taiwan is not noted for earthquakes, but there have been a couple since this building was put up, small ones in the 3.2 and 3.8, he mentioned, two earthquakes. So that could be another factor. But controlling the weather very much can do a lot of things. And the U.S. Has had a number of programs getting into the stratosphere connected to post-World War II with rockets and nuclear weapons. And there have been a lot of programs that have gone up to monkey with the ionosphere hundreds of kilometers above the Earth's surface. And, you know the old commercial, it's not nice to mess with Mother Nature. Well, you mess with Mother Nature and you can do all kinds of things. Well, I wonder, do we want to do these things? Not just earthquakes, but droughts, floods, forest fires, tsunamis, all kinds of natural disasters. And can we focus them to occur where we want them to? Well, maybe so. Did we cause this earthquake in Haiti? I don't know. It is absolutely possible that we did it. And if we did, the reasons are pretty obvious. Again, to literally take over the country, corporatize it more than it's already corporatized, do all kinds of dastardly things to Haitians we simply don't want around. We want the ones around that we want to exploit, but maybe get rid of the others, some quickly, some slowly. So reflect on that. Take a look at my article. I hope it circulates pretty widely on the net. It usually gets picked up by a fair number of websites, so I hope it happens this time as well. And this story is not going away, even though the major media is slowly losing interest in Haiti. You'll get scattered reports, and they'll pack up their bags and leave before too very long, even though the story, in my estimation, is getting worse, not better. And if anything, they should pick up their reporting, not tone it down, not bring it down, not end it. So that's one big story. Then we've got what's going on here. And, you know, we have a lot of guests on this program to talk about the state of the economy. And I haven't had one on this program say that they see bright lights out there. They see very dark lights, things getting worse, not better. I have a feeling before the end of 2010, the rosy reports that we get so many of now will disappear because things will be much bleaker. People will be suffering more. Maybe they'll even be reacting, wondering why their government isn't doing anything to help. that's the message of the Massachusetts election for me, that just great dissatisfaction with the Obama administration, not doing much of anything to help, but turning to Republicans for help, like jumping from the frying pan into the fire, because they're certainly not going to get any help from Republicans, but there's hardly any difference between the two parties. The only good news about that election is it kind of put a crimp in the sails of so-called health care reform. I'm sure the Democrats are going to try to do something to salvage it, but we'll wait and see what happens. But the plan was so abysmal, I can only hope that it dies either a slow or a fast death, because it certainly wasn't reforming health care except to more greatly enrich the big providers. Certainly not helping people, and I've said it, I've written it, that I'm absolutely convinced that it's part of the big strategy to end Medicare. Ask any senior, including the most rabid Republicans, except the very rich ones who don't care, whether they would give up their Medicare. I don't think you find anyone say they'd be willing to give it up. I don't know what people would do, what seniors would do for health care if they're no longer working. They no longer have any kind of coverage they might have had from their employers, and they don't have any Medicare. And if you're talking about the average individual or family in the country, you're talking about modest income people. Health care is extremely expensive, getting more so all the time. I think I've mentioned once or twice in this program that back when I was a grad student, toward the end of 1959, I bought a policy, a one-year policy to tide me over until I could graduate, get a job, and have a company pick up my health care for me. And I bought a policy that looked pretty decent to me, that certainly would cover me for anything big that might come up, which was all I was concerned about. And at that age, you know, not come down with a deadly disease, but maybe have a bad accident, need an expensive surgery, whatever. And I paid something a little over $100 for that, $100 and change, and it covered me for the whole year. That's what health care cost back in those days. I think one of the reasons when we got Medicare in 1965 that they didn't include drug prices, coverage in it, was that drugs were not all that expensive back in those days. Well, neither was medical care. How could I buy a policy for $100, $110, or $20, whatever the heck it was? How could I do that? Unless medical care was very reasonable, and it was. And over the years, of course, it went way, way up. Even now on Medicare, I pay a lot with my Part B premiums. And I need a backup plan, so I have a Blue Cross one, and I pay a lot to them. So it cost me a few $1,000s a year to get my free Medicare. And that was the bargain that was struck back in those days. They'll take a chunk out of my pay along with Social Security, and they'll give me free medical care when I reach age 65. Well, the best I can say is almost, but getting worse and worse all the time. So thankfully I can afford it, but what about people who can't? There are plenty of them, and those numbers are growing all the time. So that's the way this country is run. It's a very sad situation. I can remember when people used to get cost of living increases every year from their companies. I got one once. I actually got a cost of living increase. I was a marketing analyst before I got into small business. I was a marketing analyst for about 6-7 years, and I remember with one company, literally my first day on the job, an amazing, honest-to-God coincidence, my boss called me into his office, and he said, "Steve, we're so happy with your work that we're giving you a raise." And I think I got something like a 3% cost of living increase my very first day on the job. It was such a memorable event. I don't think I'll ever forget that. We both had a great chuckle about it. Well, I think those are pretty much gone. The unions got them. The unions got them for unionized workers. And back in those days, this was in the mid 1960s. I think it was 1964, if I remember. Unionization was pretty strong. I know in the 50s, 35% of private work is privately employed workers were unionized, and now it's less than a third of that number. It's way, way, way down. And of course, the government ones are running out as well. But whatever benefits the union members got, everybody in the company got, at least the one, at least this particular one, all the way up to the CEO, president, chairman of the board. Everybody got the same benefit the union members got. Well, of course, the big guys didn't need the cost of living increase, but they made a lot less than they do today. My goodness, we're all the way up to the last break. Let's take that break, and I'll come back with some final comments.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Welcome back. One more segment. And I must say that right after this program, I was invited to do a 2-hour interview. So I'll have a 3-hour marathon this morning. I did it once before with the very gracious host who invited me on. And, I came through just fine last time, so I know I can handle it this time as well. 3 hours, my goodness, it sounds like one of those TV fundraisers for one of those kids' diseases or something. Well, they go 24 hours. That might be a little much for me. I don't know how anybody could keep a discussion going for 24 hours. Well, they don't. They don't. They have entertainment. They have other stuff. And whoever the host is, he or she takes a break and comes back. But 24 hours, my goodness. Don't want to do that. But 3 hours, no problem. We'll have lots more. Let me just say a little about this program. I try very hard to bring on top guests and talk about cutting-edge issues and, above all, put out real, truthful information that is impossible to get through the usual sources. And we all know what the usual sources are, where still too many people go. You just can't do it. You've got to search out alternative sources like this one. And the programming that Republic does is a wonderful source to get real information. I hope this program does as well. I try very hard to make it that way. And I'm very committed to doing this. This is how I chose to spend my retirement. I do an awful lot of writing, too. Again, my blog site. It's sjlenman.blogspot.com, but a simple way to find it is just Google Steve Lenman blog and you'll bring it up. I've got all my articles on it in chronological order, so you can take a look at stuff. A lot of it has a very long shelf life because these topics don't go away. We're talking about the economy. It's sick. It's going to stay sick. So what was said months back is very relevant now. We can update it with the latest information. The Haiti story will not go away. Haiti was one of the first topics I ever chose to write about nearly 5 years ago when I began, and right after the Aristide coup. And the story just stays ugly. So now you've got this compounding a very ugly story. And so many other things. I just got an email. I started to answer. I'll finish as soon as I go off. Somebody who thanked me for writing about a political prisoner, Kevin Cooper. And this is a person who was involved in the overall campaign in the death penalty and helped Kevin, this an innocent guy, railroaded to prison for a murder he never committed. And the worst of all is the authorities know it, and they've still kept him there for over 30 years. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. So we deal with these issues on the program quite often, and I write about them so often. But I want to bring on major topics and important guests so listeners can get real information. And I hope to keep doing it for a long time to come. It's become my mission in my retirement, and I love it. I just stay at this all the time, and it energizes me. It keeps me young. And I hope people are benefiting as a result, whatever I'm able to do and the guests I bring on, I hope we can make a difference and encourage listeners to tell other people these are the places you have to go to find out what's happening and realize what's being done to us so we'll realize what we have to do for us. We're out of time. We're on every day at 10 a.m. U.S. Central Time. Ernie Hancock follows. Stay tuned for him. Join us again tomorrow. Make it a daily habit.
Introducing the new Go.